want to add my plug to the idea of being a host family for an athlete at Angelina College. I plan on doing it personally as well. It's a friend of Emily Corbett's that reached out to us about doing this. There's no financial commitment to doing this. In fact, they tell you not to give money to the athletes. So, but it's an opportunity for us to be a warm and welcoming congregation in the community and make friends that, and maybe invite them to church, maybe. And so I think it's a great opportunity for us to show some hospitality and some friendship to these athletes. Let's begin with prayer. God of all the nations, you rescued your people out of the Red Sea and delivered Rahab from battle. You rescue the lowly and needy from injustice and tribulation. Surround us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we may have faith to live by your word in our time. Have courage to persevere in the race set before us, and have endurance in the time of trial. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see us.
We will never turn back from you.
Give us life as we call upon your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 363. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Please be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in God, we dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith, and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. Loving Creator, with a gardener's tender touch, you planted your people to bear good fruit, but we bear wild grapes. With the welder's fierce fire, you fashioned your people to glorify you, but we are riddled with impurities. In your generous mercy, O God, regard the vine you planted. Save and restore us. Reform the vessel you crafted. Cleanse and refine us. Give us life, O God, that with our whole being we may worship you rightly. Amen. Indeed, the Lord does have mercy on us. So hear the good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing Glory to God. Having received the peace of God's forgiveness, let's pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you. 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 It's wet. Peace of Christ. Peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ. Okay. Picture of that couple that was here last week, so you could recognize her if you saw her in the hall and invite her back to. Yeah, so it's on my desk.
Let us pray. Faithful God, we hunger and thirst for your righteousness. Guide us by your word and spirit so that we may live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 29 through chapter 12, verse 2. And you can find that on page 226 of your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fires, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Holy wisdom, holy words.
Tell you what, I'm not going to ask the children to come forward. I'm just going to come to you or come a little bit closer. Unless Samuel wants to come stand with me, you can do that. We studied in Sunday school today about spiritual gifts. And you know, every one of us has gifts that we've been given by God, ways that we can do different things that are special. And one, Michael Davis today has a gift for music that he's going to share with us. All of us have gifts. All of us have things that we can do. And one of the things God asks us to do is to use those gifts in the church to glorify the body of Christ, which is another word that we use for the church. So that doesn't mean you necessarily have to fit into anybody else's mold. If you don't sing, you don't have to be in the choir. But what you do is you recognize what it is that you do well, and then you volunteer to do something for the church along the lines of what you do well. Pray with me. Lord God, we thank you that you give all of us special gifts. We pray that we might recognize those gifts and use them for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming up. Our next reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, beginning with verse 49. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He, meaning Jesus, also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, 'It's going to rain.' And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat.' And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Wow. Did you hear what Jesus said? I came to fire you up. Only wish you were already fired up. This reminds me of football cheers. Cheerleaders look to the crowds in the stands and chant, "Get fired up, get fired up, get fired up." Guess what? They're not asking you to wait until the fourth quarter to cheer. They want a show of spirit now. Likewise, Jesus is interested in his followers responding now. Hear what Jesus is saying. I came to fire you up. I only wish you were already fired up. Many read this passage and are concerned with Jesus' sudden change. After all, Isn't this the same Jesus that's been preaching peace and love? Didn't we start last week's passage with, "Do not be afraid, little flock"? Where is the meek and mild shepherd of lambs? This is the same Jesus. Remember what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus? Luke quotes John as saying this in Luke 3:16. John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Yes, from the very start, Jesus came to bring fire. Jesus came to bring the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to bring power. Power that changes lives and shakes things up. Not power stored up in a battery for later use, but power that makes real noticeable difference in the present. Remember last week I mentioned that baptism is the beginning of living as a kingdom person. Unlike Constantine, we do not want to wait until our deathbed to be baptized. We want to start living as kingdom people now. This scripture follows last week's message perfectly. How are we going to live as kingdom people? We're going to set the world on fire. What kind of difference does the power of Jesus make? Probably not what you would expect. When we think of political power, we think of someone having authority over others. We think of control over others. We think of implementation of policy that makes changes that we want to see. The effect of fire brought by Jesus is parity. Parity is equality in amount, status, or value. Quoting from the prophet Micah, Jesus describes the effect of the power of the Holy Spirit. It brings parity. It brings equality. It brings change to power structures. And when power structures are challenged, there is division. Notice what Jesus says. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two, two against three, they will be divided. Father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, end quote. In each of those examples, there's a power disparity. However, in Christ, there is no power disparity. As Paul says in Galatians 3:28, quote, "There's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave or free. There's no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus." As my youth minister used to tell us, the ground at the foot of the cross is level. In Christ, there is parity. In Christ, there is equality. So much for Jesus, the meek and mild. But Jesus does not stop there. Oh, we can all be for equality, right? Isn't that what our country was founded on? The theory's great, but Jesus goes a step further. Jesus uses a similitude, which is kind of like a parable. Jesus tells the crowd that they're good at judging the weather. They pay attention to the signs in the sky. Joseph Fitzmyer puts it this way. As weather-wise Palestinian farmers, they've learned to read the face of nature with its clouds and its winds. They should then be able to assess the critical moment in which they exist. He thus contrasts the people's meteorological sensitiveness with their religious sensitivity. End quote. This is not that different from us. I pay close attention to the sky. I remember the old adage, red in the morning, sailor's warning, red at night, sailor's delight. I watch the clouds and the winds and predict when the rain will come and whether or not I need to turn on my sprinklers. But do I pay as close attention to the signs of the times? Am I sensitive to the equality or lack of equality in society? Is there division between parents and children? Is there division that needs the peace of Christ? Is there division between nationalities, Jews and Greeks, that needs the fire of the Holy Spirit? Is there division in marital relationships, mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law, that needs reconciliation through the power of the kingdom? Again, notice the language in Scripture. Jesus tells the crowd that their religious sensitivity needs to be as timely as their weather sensitivity. They need to be looking for and working for the kingdom now, or as the NRSV puts it, in the present time. This means active in bringing about the kingdom today. Being sensitive to the signs of the times reminds me of two Catholic priests who went on vacation to Hawaii. The two priests decide to wear casual clothes so they won't be identified as clergy. They buy Hawaiian shirts and sandals and soon hit the beach. They notice a gorgeous blonde in a tiny bikini. "Good afternoon, fathers," she says as she strolls by. The men are stunned. "How did she know we were clergy?" they said to each other. Later, they buy even wilder attire. Dark glasses, tie-dye t-shirts, surfer shorts. The same fabulous blonde walks by in a string bikini and politely nods at them and says, "Good morning, fathers." "Just a minute, young lady," says one of the priests. "We are priests and proud of it, but how in the world did you know we were priests?" Don't you recognize me? I'm Sister Catherine from the convent." We are to be sensitive to the signs around us. We are to be involved in change for the better. We are to be involved in bringing about the kingdom where there is no distinction between slave and free, Jew and Greek, male and female. This involvement is sometimes very clear, sometimes not so clear. It's often a matter between the individual Christian and their conscience, but sometimes it involves collective action. Our Presbyterian polity, like the United States government, believes that the community is involved in discerning the will of God. What that often means is that we share our differing views in love, and we seek to discern answers as a community. When we reach a majority decision, we act to bring about the kingdom as we understand it, always knowing that we are subject to change. As our ancestors said, and we continue to say in our creeds, we are the church reformed, always reforming according to the Word of God. So how do we do this? How do we as a church fulfill our prophetic role? How do we speak the truth to power? Understanding that Christians of conscience can differ in their opinions. These are not real easy questions, but neither are they questions we can ignore. We are called by Jesus to discern the signs of the time and to act, even if it brings about division in power structures. Where there is no parity, there needs to be change. This can take many forms which are beyond the scope of this sermon, but we need to look at the signs of the times. There are vast disparities in our times. Some are because of inequalities in our systems, which need to be addressed. We need to be aware of the signs of our times, and we need to be willing to do something about them. That includes pointing to those who are disadvantaged by our systems and looking for a way to lift them up. I offer some similitudes to illustrate the point. In South America, there was a huge problem with lumber poachers who were going through the forest cutting down ancient mahogany trees. They were leaving the other trees, but were stripping the forest of some of its oldest and most precious trees. A movement formed to protect the mahogany trees before they became extinct. Yes, the entire forest was important, but the problem was the killing of mahogany trees. Consequently, the movement focused on saving the mahogany trees. Likewise, in Africa, poaching is a problem. Many animals need to be protected, and indeed, all animals are important. However, a particular problem is the near extinction of the black rhino. Because the horn of the rhino is considered to have strong medicinal qualities, the rhinos have been slaughtered to near extinction just to take their horns. A group is formed to save the rhino. This does not mean that all poaching should not stop. This does not mean that all animals are not precious to God. It does mean that the problem of poaching the rhino is particularly acute and therefore needs more attention. When the mahogany tree is brought into parity with the rest of the forest, the focus can return to the whole forest. When the rhino is brought into parity with the rest of the animal population, the focus can return to the whole animal population. Jesus tells us to get fired up. One of the kingdom changes Jesus focuses on is parity among people. How do we do that? Ensuring that our systems are just. Justice is about bringing parity. Justice is about bringing Jews and Greeks on the common ground. We will be righteous before God when we do not make arbitrary distinctions between those who are equally precious in God's sight. In the words of the Sunday school song I used to sing as a child, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the children of the world. May all of us live and love this way. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe using the affirmation of faith printed in the bulletin, adapted from the Confession of 1967. What do you believe? The life, death, resurrection, and promised coming of Jesus Christ has set the pattern for the church's mission. His human life involves the church in the common life of all people. His service to men and women commits the church to work for every form of human well-being. His suffering makes the church sensitive to all human suffering so that it sees the face of Christ in the faces of persons in every kind of need. His crucifixion discloses to the church God's judgment on the inhumanity that marks human relations, and the awful consequences of the church's own complicity in injustice. In the power of the risen Christ and the hope of his coming, the church sees the promise of God's renewal of human life and society, and of God's victory over all wrong. The church follows this pattern in the form of its life and in the method of its action. So to live and serve is to confess Christ as Lord. Amen. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 724, O Jesus, I Have Promised. Please be seated. There's only one Lord and God from whom all things come and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our gifts to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. We praise and thank you, Lord God, for the majesty of your work, the wisdom of your word, and the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts of our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love for all. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Rejoicing in God's promise of new creation, let us pray to the Maker of heaven and earth, saying, in faith, O God,
we seek your grace.
We pray for the church. Make us bold to proclaim our faith in Christ, who endured the cross for our sake and now sits at the right hand of your throne. In faith, O God,
we seek your grace.
We pray for our communities. Restore the vineyard you have planted. Let it not be trampled down, but grow up to bear good fruit. In faith, O God,
we seek your grace.
We pray for the world. Show your mercy and justice to the nations. Defend the weak and powerless. Lift up the lowly and the destitute. In faith, O God,
we seek your grace.
We pray for the earth. Guide our feet that we might trod gently. Guide our hearts that we might love creation passionately. In faith, O God,
we seek your grace.
We pray for loved ones. Protect them with your powerful hand. Give life to those who call on your name. Let your face shine and save them. In faith, O God, gracious God, keep us working and praying for the coming of your holy realm of peace, when we will share the abundant life with you through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 846, Fight the Good Fight.
Thank you.
Having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Be sensitive to the signs of the times. Now, get fired up. Live as kingdom people, living, loving, and acting as Jesus calls us to do, bringing about justice and parity between all whom God loves. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.